Hello, everyone. We are studying the Zohar, Volume 3, Parashat Vayishlach, Item 1. Item 1, Vayishlach. I think we have a problem with the picture. And Jacob sent angels. Rabbi Yehuda said, for he will order his angels to keep you. The friends explained this text, that when a person comes to the world, the evil inclination comes along with him and always complains. As the writing says, sin croucheth at the door. What is croucheth? Sin croucheth at the door. It is evil inclination. At the door, meaning at the door of the womb, meaning immediately when one is born. So, to begin with, we are built in such a way that we are born with a will to receive. In order to receive, a will to enjoy, and that's the program that is in us, meaning at all cost I'm willing to exploit the entire world, everything that exists is at my service only to satisfy my needs. That's how I'm built. And this program demands of us to constantly guard ourselves, satisfy our needs without any regard of anybody else, but only to enjoy as much as I can and strain as much as I, as little as I can. Item 2. And David also called the evil inclination by the name of sin. As it says, my sin is always against me. It is because every day he makes one sin before his Lord. And this evil inclination does not move from us from the day we are born and forever. And the good inclination comes from the day we begin to purify. We begin to want to purify. That means that every day means each and every moment when you or Shemot come and awaken. These Rishimot come and awaken in us. These Rishimot demand of us to satisfy the will to receive. We are, each and every one of us, a consequence of the collective soul called Adam HaRishon. This collective soul broke and dropped or fell from its spiritual degree to a situation, the situation where we are now, which is immersed in the will to receive in order to receive. And that's why it says every single day one's desire overpowers one. And this desire always comes from the day one begins to want to purify. So if we now want to begin, if we begin by being brought into a system of correcting the evil inclination, the will to receive, and we begin to work on it, the will to receive increases even more, meaning that then we seem to have a weapon to correct the will to receive, so the will to receive awakens even more. And this is in order to help us, in order to bring us material for correction. This is what King David says, that my sin is always against me, meaning the minute a person corrects a part of himself over the will to receive, it immediately awakens in him a new will to receive, and on until we complete our entire soul and bring it to a situation as it was before the breaking, but because we add our labor and our observations. So when the soul was first come to the root with the light of Nefesh, now it attains Na'an Chai and complete recognition of the emanator. Item 3. And when does one come to purify? It is when he is 13 years of age. Then one connects in both, one on the right and one on the left, the good inclination on the right and the bad inclination on the left. And these are two appointed angels, and they are with us always. The Creator created the evil inclination, that's all. Creation means outside the degree in Hebrew. Creation is outside of what? Outside of holiness, outside of the properties of the Creator. That's why there's nothing good about it. But to begin with, creation is a deficit, it is evil, it is bad. When does the need for when do these corrupt desires awaken in us? He says from 13 years of age and on. That age or that incident or that situation from which a person feels that he should correct himself, it is called 13 years of age. It might be at the age of 20, 30, 40 or whatever. They say that the Gaon from Vilna crossed the barrier at the age of 9. The Ari also attained at a very young age. When he was 38, he died already. Ramchal, there were many such Kabbalists. The Admo from Breslov, Nachman from Breslov. Rabbi Nachman, he died at 36. So if you ask Kabbalists when I should begin studying Kabbalah, most of them will say that it's not about an age, but whenever you have a question, what's the meaning of my life? And that awakens in each and every one of us when we're children already. Afterwards you block it, we suppress it, and we don't want to continue with it. But the question, what am I living? Am I living for? We ask at a very early age. So 13 years of age is that moment when we begin to ask about the meaning of our lives. Why is it 13? We learn about it in Tzilut. A complete degree is called Yud Gimel, 13. When we come to a situation when we begin to correct ourselves, some don't attain it until they die. And that's why it says, what should we do with children that have grown old? And some reach it at a very young age and demand this correction. Now he says, there are two inclinations here, bad and good, and they both come from the Creator. Because both the right line and the left line, the left is the properties of the creature. The will to receive that needs to be corrected. And the right line is the property of the Creator, from which the creature takes all the force and the example of what it should be like. The right line and the left line are called two angels that come from above. And we are in between them, between the bad and the good inclinations. So we don't need to do anything, actually, except choose from the both of them how to merge them. And which kind of merging of them I want to be in. To begin with, I restrict everything and don't want any of them. And then I begin to take from the right and from the left line only those amounts of will to receive and the properties of the Creator desire to bestow that I can put together in a way that I will be independent in the middle line. So we are neither good nor bad inclination. We are that decision, that free choice, what I want to be, how much I want to be comprised of both of them with my free choice. And these two angels, these two desires, bring us to the end of correction. As we sing on Shabbat, come in peace, angels of peace. These two angels come to us, and at the end of the song it says, leave in peace. So they come, they bring us, they carry us through the 6,000 years to the 7th millennium, called the end of correction, and they leave. Meaning, we are not between the good and bad forces, but but we we use them in such a way that now I'm completely incorporated of them, that I can use them all in order to bestow. I took all the will to bestow and all the will to receive in order to bestow, and then I use my own vessel in order to bestow, and by that I build myself exactly like the Creator. Regarding sin crouches at the door, we see that it's necessary, because that's how we demand the correction. Yes. So what should I do in order to, as quickly as possible, come to a sensation that I'm opposite to the Creator and must be corrected? All the observations, the recognition of evil, the insights, the corrections are only done by the light that reforms. Meaning, if a person learns correctly what the Kabbalah tells, speaks of, it talks about our corrected situations that we want to attain. So by learning about them, we draw from our situation, from our corrected situation, the surrounding light. Because we are not in a corrupted situation as we think we are. We are actually in a corrected situation. But the corruption that the Creator made on us doesn't allow us to see our corrected situation in which we are. And if despite this corruption we yearn to return to the corrected situation, the light shines from that corrected situation that slowly corrects our corruption. So between me and my own corrected situation, there's a distance. How can I bridge it? How can I ascend to completeness and eternity? By that force that is in my corrected situation, where I am strong and corrected and prepared to fulfill myself and stand in the middle of the spiritual world with the power of the screen. If from there I, from my corrected self, if I bring the illumination to me, to my currently corrupted self, this illumination corrects me, pulls me to that corrected state. So I use, should I put it, a model or my own corrected self image, my situation in the root, and how can I use it? By trying to be, to equalize with that situation. The more I want it, the more it shines on me and corrects me, pulls me up. That's all. It's very simple. The work is very simple. So if you don't read the book of Kabbalah that explain about the corrected situation, then there's nothing tells us how to want the corrected situation, and there's nowhere to take powers for correction from. So we remain as we are born in the same situation. It doesn't matter if we learn the other parts of the Torah, it doesn't matter what we do in this world, perhaps many things and many good things perhaps, but they're only on the level of this world. Only if we use the light that reforms, then we rise and correct ourselves, and that's only possible if we learn Kabbalah. That's what Kabbalists write, and who knows better than them about reality? They are the ones that see the entire reality. What is the thing that is most worthwhile to ask for? The strongest thing to ask for. You're asking, are there more effective, beneficial intentions than just mere desire to return to the corrected situation where I am to begin with? There are all kinds of observations that one feels while working with the book, with the corrections, that are inside this aim, this desire, that in and of themselves appear in us and bring us some kind of a picture of what we want. Or to be exact, what is the way, what is the corrected situation? But again, it comes only by beginning to work on it and gaining experience and thus getting these new observations. It's not that I can give you an advice and then within a moment you will begin to activate your right intention, your correct intention, these new insights and all that. It's impossible. It can only be provided you from experience will feel a special attitude to the purpose, picture it correctly, the correct situation. It happens as you study. Continue. Item 4. One comes to purify, evil inclination surrenders, and the right governs the left. And both the good inclination and the bad inclination connect to keep one in every path. As it says, for he will order his angels to guard thee in all thy ways. When a person tries to practice corrections through the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah, that it, when he extends, that pulls the light from the corrected situation, so he sees how the evil inclination awakens and how the good inclination comes, and the observations, how fast and with what connections they come. So he sees that these things are deliberate and that they are continuous. There's a cause and effect, and in the end it brings him to correction and to the purpose. And then he doesn't call it a bad inclination. It's an angel now. There's a good inclination and a bad inclination, but it's like the same forces, but now they appear before me as two extremes, as contradicting, but they both come from the Creator with a good intention. And toward the Creator there is no good inclination or bad inclination, but only two forces by which he activates us. So these are two angels, completely equal in every way. And if one really wants to advance, he must use both. Because if he doesn't take forces from the bad, what will he correct? If he doesn't correct anything, how will he build the soul? The soul is built from evil inclination that is corrected with the aim to bestow, by which it becomes good. That's it. So to begin with, there's only a point in us that is between these two lines, right and left, good and bad. And this point is called the point of the heart. From within it, man must begin to merge these two forces. In every degree, the merging is more and more and more, and they also grow and become more extreme and greater. And then once in spirituality they become two worlds, the pure and impure worlds, the pure Bia and the impure Bia, and this is how we constantly use them, but we must constantly use them equally. Well, who are we from this middle point that is now added with the will to receive? Will to receive is the flesh. It's the overview, the will to receive. And on top of that, the aim to bestow from the right line. So we have a goof, a body from the right line, and the aim from the left line. And who are we? That middle point that builds the structure on top of ourselves. Is this a natural desire to go through these crosses? Does one naturally want to correct it's hidden? After we understand that with the desires for food, sex, money, honor, knowledge, it doesn't matter how much we run, but we chase them, but we'll never be satisfied. It awakens in us a desire for something beyond. And beyond these desires is godliness, the Creator. But the Creator is concealed. So we don't know what we want. We just feel bad. But where does the fulfillment come from? That's what we don't know. So you might say that everything, every situation that a person cannot fulfill from within these desires, doesn't think that these desires can answer, is actually a desire for the Creator. But because the Creator is latent, we don't see that it is for adhesion with the Creator. Adhesion is already in order to bestow. It's a second nature. But we think that we have to know how to control our fate, what makes the world go around, yes? As it says about Abraham, our father, the patriarch, yes, who owns the city and where do the stars come from, and all those questions that Abraham asked. This is how we start. And then, by awakening the surrounding lights, then we begin to have more questions, and we begin to sort out the truer question. And it might take years before we understand that actually reaching what we want inside is the adhesion with the Creator. We have to open our desires and see it more and more deeply and find that the desire for that something that is unknown is a desire for the Creator. Even a desire to resemble the Creator, to exit the nature of this world and be the giver. But before we open our will to receive to that point, it takes a while. So we are like this puppet, this doll with many, many layers. It's called Matryoshka in Russian. So we're like that, and inside it all is the end of correction, but we just have to reach that situation, and every layer we exist in must slowly be peeled off. When is it peeled off? when I see that it's bad, then I reach a deeper level and I say, oh, that's it, that's the spiritual world. It is pleasurable, good, eternal. After some time, the will to receive grows. I begin to see that this situation doesn't satisfy me. We see that the will to receive promotes us to the purpose. And so on and so forth. We remove more and more layers until we reach the middle of the fruit. And before we are ready for it, we cannot reach the middle of the fruit. So that's why the shell is considered to be guarding the fruit. So we must constantly see that the situation we're in is incomplete. And this is work through the study. Everything is sorted out in the thought, in the mental, through the study. There's nothing physical that is demanded here, or some act that I must do, but the acts in the group, in the circulation, in the study, all of them together help us extend the lights more forcefully. You're saying if it took 6,000 years to the nation of Israel to reach anything, how long should it take the entire world? First of all, in my eyes, the nation of Israel during those close to 6,000 years, the time that remains until the 6,000 years is critical. Until now, we haven't corrected anything. Only now we have come to a situation that we can begin to correct ourselves. Now begins the correction. Now the souls in this world that are clothed in the body are beginning to feel that they must find the upper reality, the entire reality. Otherwise, they will not be able to satisfy even their ordinary life. There's food, there's abundance if you compare it to life in the Middle Ages or 2,000 years ago. Compared to that, each and every one of us is just as rich as a king. Come to my house, look at my fridge. When did people have such things? Like we have in the refrigerators, people had a piece of bread and had some water, and that's it, pretty much. When did people have milk and meat and everything? And here you have everything you want. So we've come to a situation where we are unable to satisfy ourselves. It is a sign that only now we're beginning the correction. In previous years, the will to receive evolved. That's what determined the degrees of development for mankind in technology, in economy, culture, religions, philosophies, evolved, and then science afterwards. All of this was done so that we will reach a situation where what we see that whatever develops gives us nothing to actually make us happy. The will to receive, although it is in a situation that it's got everything it wants, it is still more empty than ever before. Emptier, sorry.
זה מה שכותבים בעצם מקובלים, המצב הראוי, המצב הטוב.
And that's what Kabbalists denote the good situation, the right situation, when we reach the final decline from the breaking of the vessels, the breaking of Adam HaRishon in our world, when we fell in our world all the way, and from this point we have to begin rising. And the Kabbalists during the generations only came here to develop the method for us. That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah was concealed, but they developed the system and brought it to our generation to give us a ready system, a correct system, as Baruch Shalom writes in his, that Talmud HaSof Sfirot is the book by which a person learns. And if we yearn for correction, if we want correction, if we want to bond with the, where we are corrected, then we get power from there and can begin correcting ourselves. So we should view this history as preparation only. He writes it even in Matan Torah that now, after four exiles, these exiles were known in advance. We knew that we were going to have to go through them. And at the end of those exiles, we begin our corrections. And now we have two ways before us, the path of Torah or the path of pain. Either, God forbid, as the prophets wrote, because it's written that all prophets only made the prophecies about the days of the Messiah. It's not that they turned to the people there and cried. They're telling us, they're crying for us, because we will either attain the correction this way, or let's hope that we will do it by the path of Torah, that we understand that only through extending the light from above we will be granted with changing our fate and reaching the connected state, not by pain but through the power of light, power of Torah. Item 5. Rabbi Elazar relates this text to Yaakov, that the Creator ordered the angels, the appointed camps with him, because he came complete with the upper tribes, and all of them were complete and worthy, as it is written that Jacob went by his way and met the angels of God. And it is explained here, after he was saved from Laban and separated from him, divinity bonded with him, and camps of holy angels came to be around him. And then it says, when Jacob saw them, and from these angels he sent to Esav, as it says that Jacob sent angels. They were angels, actual angels. Angels are powers of the Creator by which he runs the creature and its development. Those are not things with, I don't know, two or four wings. There is no form in spirituality. Spirituality is all forces. And you see what it says? Who met Jacob? Angels of God. It is not some bad force or some... because there is none else beside him, beside the Creator, in order to bring us to the purpose he sent us, forces, negative or positive, by which he teaches us and brings us to the purpose. So that's how we should relate to the entire creation, Esav, Yaakov, and Moses, and Pharaoh, and the nation of Israel, and Amalek, and Mordechai, and Haman, and Ahasuerus. Everything is balanced by the opposite force in order to give us the freedom of choice to use these two forces together. Not that we should throw one and use the other, but with the right blending of these forces within us, we become, through our free choice, equal to the Creator, because those forces come to the Creator as opposites Yes, one against the other. There are two parallel lines. And if we can arrange this one against the other in one middle line toward the Creator, we bond them, and this means that we bond ourselves toward the Creator and equalize the form with the Creator. So we actually come to a situation as it is in the Creator Himself, where there is no difference between good and bad between these forces. Okay? Well? Yes. Item 6. Rabbi Yitzchak said, it is written, the angel of God parks around those who fear him and delivers them. But in a different place it says that he will order his angels onto thee, meaning many, many angels. And here it says, only one. It says, an angel camps. And it says that his angels, he commands his angels onto thee, meaning ordinary angels. And when it says the angel of God, it means divinity. As you say, and he saw the angel of God, and the angel of God appeared to him from within the bush, meaning divinity. Even so, this angel also here means divinity. Therefore, the angel of God camps around those who fear him and revolves them from all sides in order to save them. And when divinity is inside us, all the holy armies come there. The revelation of the Creator in the creature, when the acolyte fulfills the corrected vessel, it is called the inspiration of divinity within us. The sensation of the Creator in the creature is called divinity. He is just in us, and the vessel, the kli for him is called divinity. Malchut of the world of Atzilut is called Shechina, the correct Shechina. Sorry, the corrected Malchut. And that's what we should come to, that the Creator will fulfill us, that the Creator will be in us without any limitation on our part, meaning we have to make of ourselves a kli for the permeation of divinity or the Creator within us without any limitations. This is called reaching the state of Ein Sof, no limit, no limitation to the fulfillment of us by the Creator. So it is we who limit the Creator from permeating us. We limit the Creator, or you might say that we limit the Creator from permeating us. And all the corrections are done in order to enable the Creator fulfill the kli of the creature, the light that will enter the corrected vessel. That's what it is, in other words. You said that there are two angels that lead us to advance. So what is the relationship between them if they both take to opposite directions? So where is my freedom of choice? I have a Creator before me, that to begin with, I must see him as the goal. In order to reach him as a goal, and I don't know how to direct myself to him because I don't see him. This essence, this idea, this knowledge is before me. How can I direct myself precisely to the Creator when I don't see the goal in the dark, yes? How can I direct myself to the goal? I was given two angels for that, two contradicting forces, that if through these two forces when I have a choice, meaning in the dark when I don't see the goal, if I arrange them in such a blending that I do as much as I can in order to bestow from these two forces, it is called that I am directed at the Creator. I can't work with the right and then with the left intermittently. What does it mean that I work with them intermittently? If I work like that, I'm under the control of the left all the time. It's true that sin crouches at the door, meaning I find that the left controls me, so I immediately should escape to the right and balance the left. And when they're balanced, then I choose what to do now. You said that the first nature is us. Yes, but it's not me, it's an angel that controls me. I'm just a point. It's not good, it's not bad. Sin crouches at the door means that the minute I want to exit my situation to spirituality, then at the door of the exit to spirituality, there's this evil inclination that adds ego to me, the egoism, and I must correct it through the right line, through the good inclination, through the power from above, until I finish correcting all the desires that awaken from my left through the forces that I get from the right, and that means that I reach the Creator one by one, advance in the situations until I fill up all my vessels with corrections in order to bestow. You might say that we can resemble the will to receive through this sophisticated system that guards the self. Well, maybe in the beginning you think that the will to receive is against you, that you have to hate it, that shells is something that is terrible, terrible. That's how we see it, because our work is incomplete. Because if we say that there is none else beside Him, and it comes from the Creator, then there cannot be anything bad in reality. But there is something that appears to me in a negative form, but it is actually good. It's like pain. The doctors tell you, and researchers tell you, that pain can be neutralized. I can take a shot into the brain and never feel any pain. And suddenly I find that my leg was burnt in fire. I couldn't feel it. I didn't feel a thing. I don't know, half of it is gone. I just now felt it. That can happen, right? Because I don't feel anything. So pain is good. How? Because it helps me see the bad. So you must discern between that which helps you see the bad and the bad itself. The evil inclination is not bad, it just shows you that you lack adhesion with the Creator. The evil itself is your situation, because you are not in adhesion with the Creator. And the evil inclination is like pain that comes to show you that you are far from Him. And then you begin to like it. Oh, thank you, He's helping me understand that I'm far from the Creator. So thank you very much, it's a good angel. The left, it hits me. I don't feel good. It pains me. But without the pain, I wouldn't notice that I'm far from the Creator. What is good? A good angel means that if I take forces from the right and correct my situation, then these two angels work together in order to bring me closer to the Creator. From the bad inclination, I take the tools, the insights into how far I am from the Creator, and from the good, I take the strength to make this leap to jump closer to the Creator, and then these two angels perform their job. Thus, this way. I don't know. I just found that I'm sick. I'm far from the Creator. How do I know what to do now? I need powers, I need knowledge, I need to do things. How will I know how to do them? That's what the right line gives me. But you understand that without the left line, that's why it's in crouched at the door. Meaning, you want to exit, yes, the opening, that's like the opening of the womb. You want to go into the enlightened world, to the spiritual world, it helps you. It is at the door. Why? It begins to direct you what it is you need in order to be born. And then grow and come to the complete situation. So we shouldn't look at, you know, this angel. That's why he says, you know, and the angels of God met Jacob. You think, Rachel, that the door is an angel that is sent by God. And where does it come from? From the first spiritual law. There is none else beside him. Everything comes from the Creator. So, if it appears as negative toward us, it is because we are not corrected. The minute you correct yourself, you see that there is no bad. There is no bad in reality. Everything is at the end of correction already. The Creator is good and does good. As it says, all that flows, that blemishes one's own blemish. Because your vessels of perception were broken at the breaking of the vessels and cannot perceive the Creator correctly. If you correct them, you'll see that the providence is good. So when we say that he who cancels in himself actually disqualifies himself, you mean only spiritual world? Of course, I speak only of spirituality. What else can I speak about? What, your profession? That's not something Kabbalah talks about. I don't understand the question. How does a person begin to see these things? Only through the light that reforms. We have no way of getting smarter through our own inquiries or by studying something or some wisdom in the world, because here the observations are you can see them only toward the upper lights. So you have to awaken the lights, and that can only happen through the study. Go ahead. Item 7. Come and see. When King David was saved from Achish, king of Gath, he said, meaning the words, the angel of God camps, because divinity surrounded him, and he was saved from Achish and from his people and from all those that surrounded him. What does it say? That he went wild, actually, in their hands. Why does it say went wild? It should have said it went crazy, as it is written, for you have brought this to be crazy over me. Item 8, and he replies, the text revolves around what David said in the beginning, that it is written that I was envious of those who were actually partying. the creator told him, you will still need it. Because he came to the house of Achish and was attacked, what does it say? That he went wild in their hands, meaning as those that he was envious of in the beginning. Because he said, for I was envious of those who were partying. And then divinity came and hovered around David, meaning by the appearance of seemingly bad situations, when he corrects them, he enables the inspiration, the permeation of the upper light of divinity. So let's go to item 10. Rabbi Hizkiah said, so why does it say that Jacob was left alone? Yaakov, Jacob. Where were all the camps of angels that you say that were around him? Rabbi Yehuda said, because he brought himself into peril, and he remained alone at night, and saw the peril with his eye. And because they did not come to guard him, but from a peril that is invisible, that is why they were separated from him. And then before he put himself in danger, and then he said, I'm smaller than all the mercies and all the truth that you have done with your servant. That these are camps of holy angels that were surrounding him and now have left him because he put himself invisible danger, into visible danger. 11. I don't want to interpret that right now. We'll wait a little bit. 11. Rabbi Yitzchak said, that's why they left. The angels left him, to leave him alone with that appointed of Esav that came by the permission of the upper one. You see, the appointed of Esav came by permission from the upper one. Yes. And those angels went to sing. At that time, it was their time to sing before the Lord. Meaning, they left him. The angels left him for two reasons. The first, in order to leave him alone with the angel alone and fight with him. The second, that it was then their time to sing. And then they returned to him. As it says, I am smaller than all the mercies. And now I have become two camps. The camp of divinity and its household were one. As it is written, this camp of God. Why does it say two camps? To indicate that it was complete in every way, from both parts, which are white and red, which are chasadim and chokhmah, from the right and from the left. That is why it says two camps. So a person must be comprised, consist of these two lines together. What was the question about the singing? That it's praising. Item 13. And he explains why he couldn't defeat him. The angel looked to the right of Jacob and saw Abraham, which is the completeness of the right line. Yes. Look to the left of Yaakov and saw Yitzchak, Isaac, which is the completeness of the left line. Looked upon the body of Yaakov, Jacob, and saw that it was comprised of right from this side and left from this side, which is the left, which is the completeness of the middle line. And there is no hole to the Sitracha in a place of holiness but only in a place of deficit. That's why he couldn't defeat him. Then he touched his thigh, which is one pillar that is close to the body but is outside the body, where there is a deficit. That's why the angel held to that.
אבל טוב נקלה.
17, meaning he who does not follow the evil inclination and does not is not proud and subdues his spirit and his heart and desire before the Creator, then the evil inclination is overturned and becomes a slave to him, for it cannot control him. And on the contrary, that person controls him, as it says, you will rule over it. So by the powers that we acquire from the Creator, we reach correction. What else do we have? Malchut Bina. Let's see, page 13.
Gimel.
Item 43.
Sutchon de Tzedekaya. Sutchon de Tzedekaya, Tzlut Azeh Tzedekaya.
This is an article called The Prayer of the Righteous. Let's learn how to pray. Right, Nessie? And the angels returned. Yes, because we said we came unto your brother, we still don't know that it is Esav. And where did Yaakov have other brothers? And he replies, we came to your brother, meaning if you say that he repented and went in a corrected way, it is not so. But the evil is as evil as before, and is also walking toward you. And if you say that he is walking alone, no, he has got 400 people with him. 400 people is complete amount of the will to receive. 400 people is the entire Prinah Dalet, which is called Esav before the correction, coming toward Yaakov, toward the vessels of reception, bestowal, and then you have to confront them. In order to reach the purpose, you have to correct yourself. And all that, why? Why was he told all that? Because the Creator always wants the prayer of the righteous and is crowned with her prayer. Meaning, if a person, when feeling distant from the Creator, chooses freely to strain and turn to get the light, get the powers from the right line, it is considered that he does what he is supposed to do. It's the desire of the Creator to hear the prayer of the righteous. What does the Creator need? Is he happy when he's asked? It means that we know the difference between the right and the left, or between us controlled by the left and the Creator, which is in the right line. We feel the difference between them, and when we feel that difference, as we turn it into a prayer, into a desire to correct the gap and cleave to the Creator. And as we said, that angel that is appointed on the prayer of Israel, Sandalfon is his name. He takes all the prayers and makes him a crown to the Creator. And all the more so, the prayers of the righteous that the Creator wants. They become a crown for the Creator to crown with these prayers. And if you say, but the holy angels, the council of the holy angels came with him, so why did he fear? But the righteous do not rely on their merit, but on prayers and requests to the Lord, to their Lord, because tzaddik, righteous, is katnut, delighting in mercy, kugatanem, that don't have the force to face the will to receive. They just keep themselves bestowed in order to bestow. That's why they are afraid of the vessel of the corrupted vessel of reception coming to him. That's what it says in 45. Yes. The prayer of the many, how important it is. The prayer meaning the will to, the big will to receive. The vessels of reception, the vessels of reception. 45. Come and see that Rabbi Shimon said, the prayer of the multitude rises before the Creator, and the Creator is crowned with that prayer, because it rises in several ways. For one wants mercy, the other judgment, and the third wants rachamim, which is pity, and it consists of several sides, meaning from the right, from the left, and from the middle, because chasadim comes from the left, and chasadim from the right, and gvurot, judgment, from the left, and rachamim, which is also mercy, also pity, from the middle. And because it consists of several ways and sides, it becomes a crown, and it is put on the hand of the righteous that lives forever, meaning yesod, that gives all the salvations to nukva, and from her to the entire collective. But the prayer of the individual is not made of all sides, and it is not but only in one side. Either one asks for chasadim or gvurot or rachamim. That is why the prayer of the individual is not accepted by the prayer of the many, because it does not consist of all three lines as the many do. And you see that Yaakov was comprised of all three lines, for it was a chariot for the middle line, which consists of both. That is why the Creator wanted his prayer, because it was complete, like the prayer of the many. That's why it says that Yaakov feared greatly and felt sorry, because the Creator made him think that way so that he would pray, because he wanted his prayer. Okay. Question. What does it mean to pray with mercy? With rachamim. It means that above reason, you're certain that what comes from you comes from mercy of the Creator. So that's why you turn to the mercy of the Creator, because there's kind of a split in you. Still, you're certain that it comes from the right side of the Creator, yes, from the correct side of the Creator, and that he sees it right. But you don't have the power to maintain that thought, so you ask for that thought, not to get out of the situation, but to correct your vessels in order to see it as good. That means turning to mercy. We must never ask for the situation to change, to be overturned, to change. Running, managing destiny is not changing reality. It is just changing the perspective on reality, and then the worst things will feel like the best, because the actual reality doesn't change at all. You change it with your inner vessels. You think it changes. It doesn't change. Everything is motionless. What do I ask for the future situation? I ask that if the evil condition comes to me, which doesn't let me see the Creator as good, that I will get from the right a chance to correct my perspective. In the end, what we ask for is to change our outlook, our perception of where we are. And this is reality. I feel reality this way or that way according to my corrections. I only have to correct my vessels. I shouldn't lie to myself that I'm correcting anything from the outside. I must very carefully be certain that I will reach a situation that I know for sure and feel for certain that the entire reality is what I perceive inside me. Because we only perceive in our five senses what enters our five openings. That gives us the picture of the world. And if I'm corrected or not corrected inside, that's how I choose the world, bad, good, whatever. The world itself doesn't change. It is only the Shemot that change in me, and the observations of how to check and correct something, it is all my inner game. We are in Ein Sof and nothing changes. So stop running destiny, fate from outside, start running it from within. Meaning what? Making sure that if Rishimot from the left line come, you will immediately have the right line available, and you will immediately correct them, and then reality will appear to you as the eternally corrected situation that doesn't change, and there's nothing to change about it. And right now, and this is how you want to see it in every situation. The minute there is a change, you'll be able to correct it immediately and again be in eternity and completeness. If you come out of it again, you correct it. This is a prayer for mercy. It's an eternal situation, perpetual. Yes. Until you reach a situation where everything that can awaken is immediately corrected. But there is cause and consequence here. So it turns out that you begin to awaken the left line even before it reaches you, and then you have the right line in your hand already, and then you actually reach eternity when there actually is no change. What does it mean? There are changes all the time, but you don't let them come out of eternity, of eternity, of completeness. It is called I awaken the dawn, not the dawn. It's not that the dawn awakens me, and then the situation doesn't change. It changes in an endless frequency, but the quality of its changes is constant, is fixed. That's the end of correction. It doesn't mean that everything is dead and there's not changing and peace and tranquil and everything. Peace and tranquility means that you have the power to add the changes that come to you to Ein Sof immediately, instantly. How is that done? You pray for mercy. That's what you asked. Is my perspective disconnected from my Rishimot? Rishimot have everything except the free choice, all the preparations. So all I need to do is determine my approach. So I'm asking, is my approach within the Rishimot? Do I have to answer you again? Other than the free choice, everything is there. Everything is given to you. What is this free choice? I can't understand this free choice. What is this thing? You're asking, how can one have free choice when all the circumstances and the powers and the observations and the Rishimot appear and surface in us without asking me? So what do I'm asked about? Where am I free? Free choice is not in discerning between this and that and this and that. It's clear. The free choice is to rise above it, above reason. With what? With what do I do it? With what observations? With what anything? How do I do it? My So you're asking, what is the point from which I can decide that I have this free choice? It's that the Creator tells me to advance this way, and I have to add to it my labor. And my labor comes against the desire. But I must go not against the desire, but above it. How can I know that? That's why he says in Talmud HaSefirot that the Creator puts one's hand on the good fortune and says, take this for you. And the strengthening on this way is our free choice. But it's not only to strengthen ourselves. Because what does that mean? It means to seek advice how to see the image of the Creator as an ideal, as a role model, as something complete, when it seems the opposite. Well, we'll talk about that. It's not simple. Page 57. This is the prayer of the righteous. You get it? It's the prayer of the righteous that we're talking about. So it's page 57, item 191. Come and see. The complainant is there only at the time of peril. And because Yaakov was late to pay to fulfill his vow before the Creator, the judgment came stronger upon Yaakov by the complainer and demanded the judgment at the time of the danger Rachel was in. And he said before the Creator that Yaakov made a vow and did not pay, and he is greater than everyone, than everything, with wealth and sons and everything needed, and did not pay the vow that he vowed before you, and you did not receive a punishment from him. Immediately Rachel gave birth and had difficulties with her birth because the judgment became difficult upon him above with the angel of death. 192. And he asks, Jacob was punished by that. What is the reason? It says, if you cannot pay, why will he take your bed spouse from beneath you? And that is why Rachel died and the judgment came through the angel of death. Let's go back a little bit. Page 33, item 114. Come and see, from this serpent, how many armies spread to all sides and exist in the world with people and must keep this Achilles tendon, because although that rider came to that serpent, which is some, he exists in the shade and does not break. In order to explain these words, you have to first of all explain this entire article. And we know that there are 320 sparks that fell at the breaking of the vessels, which are 10 sefirot, in each of which 32 phases broke, meaning 8 kings, Da'at, Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferet, Netzachot, Yisod, Malchut, and in each of them 4 b'chinot, Chesed, Vibina, Tiferet, Malchut. Thus, 32. And 10 times 32 are in Gematria 320. And the upper nine sefirot in them are corrected by the emanator that corrected, that made four worlds of Abia from them, and through the righteous by keeping Torah and mitzvot, which are 9 times 32, which in Gematria are 288. But the last count of them, which is Malchut, which consists also of 32 b'chinot or phases, are still inside the shells, unsorted, and cannot be sorted and corrected during the 6,000 years. That is why it is called the stony heart, because it cannot be sorted out unless you are very careful and sort out only the 288 sparks. Thus, during the 6,000 years, it is sorted by itself without any act from below. Then it says about her, "And I shall remove the stony heart from within you," which is the 32 phases in the vessel of Malchut that broke and closed the shells. That the correction is only in the hands of the emanator, not in the hands of humans, of man, actually. And we learn that in everything there is Olam Shana Nefesh, world, year, soul. Therefore, in this stony heart there is also Olam Shana Nefesh. That the Olam, the world, is the primordial serpent that Sam rides, and Shana, year, is the ninth of Av, and Nefesh, soul, is the Achilles gid, Achilles tendon. For Yaakov was complete of all 288 spots that were completely corrected, and then he touched his thigh, actually, but he actually means the tendon, the Achilles tendon, for it was not sorted out yet. Because just as Sam has the power to ride the serpent, so it has power over the Achilles tendon, because they are one, this in the world and that in the soul. That's why it says that a man fought with him, meaning in Shana and in Nefesh, year and soul, that the Achilles tendon is the stony heart in the Nefesh, and the ninth of Av is the stony heart in the year, which are not yet corrected from the shells. That is why it clung to them. And this is what it says, that every that's eating is sorting out from the shells, and because the Achilles tendon is a stony heart, it says that the children of Israel will not eat the Achilles tendon, because it is forbidden to be sorted out or examined by man. And because of that, it is forbidden to eat on the ninth of Av. Because on that day, which is the stony heart, it is forbidden to sort things out. Thus, the prohibition on the Achilles Gid and the prohibition on eating are one and the same thing on the ninth of Av. As it is written here, meaning although it is forbidden to sort out and eat because the shells cling to it, still we must keep it until the future, until it is corrected by the emanator. For although some clung to it, it did not cancel it, it did not revoke it. Because although it has no correction by essence, still it's got correction in its shade. For its shade, which is black, consists of 3 shades of holiness in the first upper nine, and receives an illumination and correction from them to exist in a way that will be worthy of being corrected in the future. We have to learn a bit here and a bit there. This is how we add some knowledge, and I also choose such parts that have a greater strength for our current situation. Okay, page 133, in the middle. Meaning that he explains before us that at night, which is the illumination of the left, which is darkness, because wisdom has, without chasadim, cannot shine, the middle line, the coming out of the middle line and the incorporation with the left in the of the left in the right, and zivug zon, it is all like during the day. So we should ask, so what is the difference between day and night? Therefore he explains first that the entire difference is only the control, because at night all three lines shine too. And also Zahanpin is mating with Nukva, as in the day, but the control is for Nukva. And Zahanpin and the right line are subordinate to it and are like covered by it in order to give it room to control. And this is why the Creator says that, why it says about the Creator that he entered the Garden of Eden, which is Nukva, in order to play, meaning play with the illumination of wisdom in her. Thus the illumination of the light of Chasadim does not appear, and it is darkness and not light. And the opposite during the day, at which time Nukva is subordinate to Zahanpin, and the illumination of the Nukva is covered and Zahanpin controls, and all that appears is the illumination of Chasadim, which is Zahanpin, and therefore day. So the control of Zahanpin is day, and control of Nukva is night. Although there's no difference between night and day in the order of Zivug and construction. Page 48, item 155. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chizkiah walked along the way. Rabbi Chizkiah said to Rabbi Yehuda, what does it mean he took the crown of the king from over the head? We learned that the impurity impurity of the sons of Ammon, his name is Malkam. It is written that the crown of Malkam, their king. What is the reason that it was on the head of David? What is the reason that it says Shikut, which is impurity? For with the rest of the nations of the Lord that were idol workers, it says the gods of the nations, other gods. And here it says Shikut, only impurity. And he replied that all the gods of the nations were idol workers, and so the Creator calls them, as it says, and you will see their impurity and not their kingships. And when the text says that he took the crown of their king, which is the idol work, yes, their king, and asks, how did David crown himself with it? So it is that it was idol work. But the Akum, the idol work of Matal, converted, he broke from that crown, which is the idol worker, Malkam, the form that was carved on them, and cancelled it, revoked it, and thus made it allowed to take pleasure in. And therefore David put it on his head. Meaning there's a power to the idol worker to blemish one's own work, to disqualify it, and then it is permitted with pleasure for Israel. But after converting, if disqualifies the idol worker that he's worked on before, he doesn't permit mercy with it, pleasure with it, because then he's judged as Israel is. Therefore the Zohar says that Itai the Gati cancelled it before he converted and did not work in idle work, and that is why David could put it on his head. Come and see the impurity of the sons of Ammon. There was one serpent carved deeply on that way. Because of that, it was called shikutz, impurity, meaning filth. And this is the second answer to the question that Rabbi Chizkiah asks. Why idle work is, this idle work is called impurity. Item 85. This is, sorry, page 85, item 275, in the middle. Meaning, with the left line shown from above downward, meaning before it was incorporated with the right, the even inclination clung to person from above downward. And from below. Because from above he complained about him and brought faith upon him, and from below he enticed him to sin and extend the left from above downward, which was the sin of the tree of knowledge. And when the midline came, the left and the right were incorporated with one another and shone together in a way that the light of the right shone from above downward and the left from below upward. And then the hate from above was cancelled and the evil inclination was separated from below. Meaning the middle line that has two things, which is sitra, because of which it reduced the gal of the left line and could not shine but only from below upward, which is vak of chokhmah. And the second is that it defends, for through it the right and left are incorporated and the complaint and hatred are removed. Because the diminution that he brings to the right, to the middle line, through the power of the screen of Chirik, this diminution is considered a shadow, and the screen considered wings, which is the meaning of the complaint and the hatred that extend above to a person when the left shines from above. So we cannot escape hate between nations, between people, between in every level and every degree. We cannot escape hate between the right and left because of the Creator and the evil inclination of the creature, unless we reach in every situation the middle line. Item 277. Rabbi Elazar said, you rejected me to fall, made me fall, and the Lord helped me. It is written, you have surely rejected me. It should have said that he was rejected. Why does it say that you rejected me? For the Creator did not reject him, but the enemies. And he replies, this is the Sitra Achra that always rejects us and wants to reject us and deviate us from the Creator. And it is the evil inclination that is with us always, to which David returns and says, and said, you have surely rejected me and made me fall, because he deviated him with all the troubles that he brought upon him to send him astray from the Creator. David says, you have rejected me to fall into hell, and the Lord helped me that I was not handed over to you. 278. That is why one must beware of it, so that it does not control us. And then the Creator guards us in every way. Meaning, if we go above reason, then it never controls us, the evil inclination. It is written, then you will go, and your leg and your away will not fall, and you will be guarded and your step long. As it says that the way of the righteous shines with great light. As Rabbi Yehuda said, happy are Israel, for the Creator guards them in this world and in the next world. As it is written, your nation are all righteous. They will always inherit the land. Blessed is the Lord. Always. Amen. The shining, the illumination is the klipa that is neither good nor bad, but we have to do it to make it good.